is the latest victim of COVID-19, marking the first death in Australia in a month. It comes as health authorities confirmed 20 new cases were diagnosed in Victoria in the past 24 hours. 19 of those were locally acquired, with 3 still under investigation. The remaining case is in hotel quarantine. Victoria's Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says additional testing sites will be opened in areas considered hotspots for community transmission in Melbourne.
We have worked with planning to get as many new testing sites up in those areas as possible. That includes from today the showgrounds, which will be open from 1 p.m. today for the Keilor Downs Secondary College students and families. And from tomorrow, that site will be open to the general community.
Australia has once again retained its AAA credit rating amid one of the biggest economic shocks in decades. From Canberra, Amanda Kopp reports.
Global credit rating agency Moody's has given Australia the organisation's highest credit score overnight. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg saying it is a vote of confidence in Australia's economic performance.
Australia is one of only 10 nations to have a AAA credit rating from the three leading rating agencies.
Moody's praised Australia's resilient economy and the government's decisive economic support packages when hit by the coronavirus outbreak. If a country has a high credit rating, governments and banks can borrow money more cheaply from international institutions because they are seen as safer countries to lend to. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
The New South Wales Premier says she does not want to close the state's border with Victoria because it would damage border towns like Albury-Wodonga. Earlier this week, Gladys Berejiklian advised New South Wales residents not to travel south or interact with Victorians who travel north due to the coronavirus situation in Melbourne. Both states, as well as the ACT, have remained open throughout the pandemic, and Ms. Berejiklian has criticised states and territories that have kept their borders closed. She told the ABC, a hard border closure with Victoria would create major problems for border towns.
I have confidence that what is going on in Melbourne can be contained, can be controlled. And for a community like Albury-Wodonga, they don't see themselves as two separate towns. They see themselves as one community. And a hard border closure would be really detrimental to a part of the country that really doesn't have any cases.
A landmark report from a group of Indigenous representatives says new and improved targets are needed to preserve Indigenous languages and prevent suicides. The Coalition of Peaks has proposed 4 areas of reform to contribute to closing the gap. They include shared decision-making, building formal Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled service sectors, systemic and structural transformation of government agencies, and shared data and information to support decision-making. The Coalition says it's imperative Indigenous people are consulted during the process of establishing the new national agreement on closing the gap. Rugby Australia says it's open to sharing pool matches in the 2027 Rugby World Cup with New Zealand to strengthen a relationship it says has taken on increasing importance during the coronavirus pandemic. Australia is in the process of formulating a bid to host the tournament, and the governing body says it's open to sharing it with the Wallabies' biggest rivals.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
Currently 15 degrees, warming up a bit over the last hour. We're looking for a top of 18 degrees today. Partly cloudy, slight chance of a shower in the afternoon and evening. And the winds are westerly and they're going to tend up to 30 kilometres an hour from the southwest by the middle of the day. The sun will set tonight at 4 minutes to 5. Looking for the rest of the week. Thursday, sunny, 6 to 19. Friday, mostly sunny, 7 to 18. Saturday, again, mostly sunny, 8 to 17. And Sunday, mostly sunny again, 6 to 17.
No!
Yeah, the moon is a waxing crescent. I like the moon. And it's first quarter next Sunday.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Drummoyne, Marlborough Street at Tavistock Street. Crash of 3 vehicles. A person is trapped there, so it's going to take a while to tidy that one up. And the southbound traffic is affected. Matraville, Botany Road approaching Bombora Point Road. Emergency utility work, 1-3 eastbound lanes closed. Reduce your speed, exercise caution. And Paddington, Moore Park Road between Lang Road and Driver Avenue. Clearways, the pop-up cycleway is happening. 24-hour clearways are in effect on the southern side of Moore Park Road from Lang Road to Driver Avenue. Good stuff.
Of course it's good stuff, man. So we can cycle.
Indeed, it's 5 minutes past 11. You are on Business Insights with Mario on Alive 90.5. And we've got Nick Jones in the studio as well. Mario,
thank you so much. Thank you, Darren. I would like to say thank you, Darren, again for making this radio station, this radio show great. As a good friend, producer and a mentor. And thankfully, we have today in the studio a very unique person who shares the, you know, the story about his life and how achieve the, how he can do and make it yourself better person in any shape and form. He doesn't hesitate to share with us his life story and the downfalls and the doubts and the problems and issues, but as well, he becomes the world champion. Nick Jones from Gentech. Nick, so when was a, let's go fast forward. So you start, you know, getting the titles. When was your first start to tech? What year?
The first title was actually my first contest. I okay. won the Teenage Mr. Adelaide title in Adelaide in 91.
Oh my God, that was the last century, Darren, eh? 91.
Yes, it was, well and truly.
So how did you felt it? I mean, like, I know it looks like a history channel, you know what I mean? Nick is like, don't worry.
We're not getting younger, Mario. I'll speak for both of us. Yes. All of us. You too, Darren. Yeah,
no, Darren's younger than I say.
It's a spring chicken.
Just like a couple months.
A couple of months, that's all.
Hold on to it. It's an important couple of months, Darren.
So that was 91, and there was a, what was then next title after that?
So the next title, so that was the Adelaide. That was in approximately April of 91, and then the bigger one, the Mr. South Australia, the state title, was later that year, September. So I decided to improve for that, and I made a lot of improvements, mainly because I learned about the diet. So yeah. Coming back later that year, I won the Teenage Mr. South Australia. And because I won that, I was selected on the team to go to the Nationals, the Mr. Australia titles in 91, which were in Perth at the Burswood Casino Perth in 91. Oh, okay. Big show, huge, big eye-opener for me. But yeah. I wasn't up to that challenge. My first Nationals, I got fourth in the teenagers. I missed out on the top three, and I remember how that felt. Standing backstage, and they announced the top three to walk back out. And get the trophy. You make the top three, you get the trophy. You see, you get the trophy and you're placing, and I missed out on that. So that stung a little bit. That was a bonus for me going to the Nationals. From that point in time, it was a real bonus to be there anyway. Yeah. So I didn't go there with any grand illusions of winning, but you don't want to go there to make up the numbers either.
Yes. You know? So did any loss actually inspire you to become better?
Well, certainly that one did. That's when I thought, okay, I'll get serious now and improve from here, because the look of the guys that won, and certainly I remember the guy that won the overall, that was back in 91, a guy called Gary Chernikov won class 4, because NABBA, the open division, it goes in height classes.
Ah, okay.
So not being the tallest guy around, I was going to be class 4 in the short guys. And the guy that won class 4, Gary Chernikov was his name, and he won the overall. So he beat all the taller guys in the overall championship. And this trophy he won was up to his chest. It was a massive trophy. Big crowd, amazing contest at the casino. So that was pretty inspiring for me. And actually, there's a lot that came from that contest, as far as people that I saw compete and meet for the first time, became lifelong friends. One was Graham Lancefield, who runs the Federation now. Graham would be well and truly into his 60s. He won the Masters that year.
Yeah.
I guess there would have been a bunch of competitions that inspired me where I didn't quite win. And it was usually, I did quite well and won many, many national titles. I think I won probably 3 Australias, I think, and 5 Australasian titles. And back in the old days then, if I would win my class at the Australasia or Australia, I'd then be sent on the Australian team to represent Australia at the World Championships or Mr. Universe. And as it happens, the Mr. Universe was the contest. That was the biggest one. That was the one that Arnold first did, the NABBA Universe. Arnold won that in 1970, I think it was. And a lot of the greats, they started with the NABBA Universe. The NABBA Universe was something that drove me year after year. I did 5 NABBA Universe competitions. First time I went, I was convinced to go by Don Marney, who was a former world champion as well. Don was in Melbourne, and after the Nationals, I won my class at the Nationals in 97, but in the overall, I got fourth. And you had to make the top three to get the trip.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't get the trip. I was really disappointed. I was really, really disappointed, actually. So, but I went to breakfast the next morning with Graham Lansfield, who's one of my mentors, and Don Marnie. And Don said, "You've got to go to the universe." And I said, "Oh, I'm not good enough. I didn't make top three in the overall. I won my class." But he said, No. He said, if you go to the NABBA universe, I believe you can make the top six. And he was a guy that had been many times. And he said, let me tell you, at the Mr. Universe contest, if you can make the top six, it is an amazing experience.
Oh, yeah.
And he said something that I never forgot. He said, you're in shape now. Right now, today, you're in the shape of your life. At last night's contest, because we were having brekkie the next morning, he said, you're in the shape of your life. You think you might come back next year and win the overall here and get your trip to the universe. But there's no guarantees. There are no guarantees that you can even get on stage next year. We don't know what's going to happen. You're in shape now. I believe you can make the top six. You go over and do that, Mr. Universe, because let me tell you, Nick, and he was very, very passionate, Don. Yeah. He said, let me tell you, when you walk on stage and they introduce you and you're standing next to 20 or 30 other guys who are the best in their country, at this point in time, there's a camaraderie and a respect for your competitors at that level because you know they've won their nationals or at least won their category at their country's title. He said, you'll walk on stage and they'll introduce you representing Australia, Nick Jones. And he said, you'll get this feeling of pride comes over you that you can't buy that with money, Nick. You've got to go. So I took his advice. I went. I got fourth. I made the top six. I got fourth place in my first Mr. Universe. And he was right. It was the most incredible experience of my bodybuilding career, doing that NABBA Universe for the first time.
So what year did you come to world champion and what class and what?
So I did that NABBA Universe 3 years running, 97, 98, 99. I got fourth in the universe the first year, 98. I got third, 99. I thought I'll go back and win it because I'd improved that much. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing standard, 99. I got fourth in 99. After that, again, Don Marnie said to me, go to the Worlds next year. The World Championships is sort of a step down from the Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Just the standards are a little bit lower. So he said, next year the Worlds are in New Zealand. They're normally in Europe, the World Championships. And he said, they're in New Zealand. It's a short flight. You won't hold any water. You'll be in great shape. He said, next year go and do the Worlds. So the Worlds was in June. The Universe was in October. So after that October, I got ready for June, which was really tough to get back in shape. Mm. 8 months later, it's really, really tough thing to do. But that's when I got in shape for the World Championships, my first one, the NABBA World Championships in 2000 in Christchurch, and I won it. I won my class. Didn't win the overall, but I won my class.
Well, you build on you said something in the beginning in our interview that you actually build your life and your business around what you love most. So that's a health and, you know, the lifestyle around the fitness. So you opened your business in 1999.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I started my business in 99, and
I'm just reading from your bio. And I mean, it's like, true. Don't be upset. Like, yeah. So, why did you start your business? You are competing, obviously.
Yes, yes.
You are still single, presume, and then you're still doing things, and you wanted your brand.
I had a partner at the time, and she was a competitor too. And I was working for Australian supplement company Masashi at the time. I'd been working for Masashi Amino Acid Company, and that's where I learnt so much about amino acids. So between working for Masashi, the original owner before he sold to Nestle, Tim Horwood was a brilliant man. So I learnt a lot from Tim Horwood, and I learnt a lot from working with and using the products, the amino acids, along with reading and reading and reading and reading. So I finished working for Masashi. I had a bit of a fallout at the time with the owner, and I'd done my time. I'd done 7 years there.
Yeah.
I'd done my time, and I was getting ready for the 99 NABBA Universe. It was about 10 weeks out of the contest, and I thought, you know what? I've saved up enough to get ready for this contest full time. I'm going to get ready for this show full time. Go and win it. I really want to be a Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
I want to be in those history books.
Yeah.
So I was prepping for the competition, but certainly I got some calls from some of the other Australian supplement companies offering me a job because I'd done quite a good job for Masashi. And I thought about it and thought, well, it'd be good to do a little bit of work to have some income rather than spend all of my savings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't really want to work for anybody else. I don't really want to. So one of the stores in Adelaide, Australian Muscle, who was my first customer, Australian Muscle, he suggested that I call an importer in Melbourne. There was an importer of American products.
Yeah.
And he said, why don't you distribute the products in South Australia for him? So I called the guy and I said, look, I'll buy products off of you I'll distribute them to South Australia. Out of the 100 or so stores that I used to supply with Musashi, there was only really 12 of them that were very, very good. You know, I said Pareto's Law, 80-20. So is that 20% I dealt with those guys. So I liked the products. So I imported these products and drove around in a borrowed car because I had a car as a rep for Musashi. But a Canadian friend of mine was going back to Canada and he knew I was starting my business. He said, Nick, keep my Corolla, drive it, and when you can afford your own car, just sell it and wire me the money. I said, okay. So so that's what I did. I drove around in a little Corolla delivering the supplements that I was buying and reselling. And so I started really as a distribution business. And those products I'd store in my shed, in my garage.
Yeah.
And I'd drive around selling them to the stores. So, you know, I remember I had $10,000 saved. I spent $10,000 on my first order. I turned around and sold those products for $12,500. It was 25%.
Okay. That's a good return on investment.
Yeah. So that was it. That's how it started as a distribution business.
That's such a interesting story. Yeah. Well, Darren, you know, like I think we should give the break to our listeners. And Nick Jones will take it short breather. You're listening live 90.5 Business in Mario with us in studio. It's Nick Jones from Gentech and his story to the top of the tops. Stay with us.
Alive 90.5.
You, baby, and I got those. We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02882 9837. insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
Amy lives in poverty and dreads going to school. Her shoes are falling apart and she can't afford a proper school bag. She often hides at recess because she doesn't fit in. She's trying, but living in poverty means every day is a struggle. Amy has almost nothing left to give. Do you? You can help a child like Amy get the support they need for school. Please sponsor an Australian child today. Search the Smith family.
This is your local radio station, Alive 90.5, keeping you up to date with local issues and events in the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas.
It's 22 minutes past 11. You're on Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
Darren, thank you very much for this intro. And our guest in the studio, Nick Jones. Nick and I, we have the fight which products are better. But, you know, certainly if you're looking for the products, you know, for the hands and help you achieving your goals, physical, beautiful, and, you know, have a six-pack, not like me, but like a Nick. Or Darren, please talk to Nick Jones. You can find the details about him and his business on our website, alive90.5.com.au. Later on today, interview him and the podcast, or on a Facebook Business Insights. There you can find more details about Nick Jones and his business. So Nick, you know, basically, so you created your own brand. And, you know, if you can share with us now, you know, I mean, you know how much sacrifices you invested, you know, I mean, literally invested sacrifice and you know, discipline to achieve these goals. And we're witnessing every day on Facebook, there's a lot of gurus, you know, I mean, wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, do this, you know, 6 hours, you know, I mean, like sweat and everything else. What would you give to anybody anytime now, advice to say, I want to lose the weight, you know what I mean? And you are the role model, no question asked, you know what to do. Tell us, what's the biggest downfall? Don't look at me, look at Darren. Darren is a skinny, but in fact, don't look at me. I feel uncomfortable now.
I could be a bit skinnier, but yeah.
What did you say?
No, I could be. Well, like Nick would know well about this. Sorry, you have an average weight when you might be training, but then you would have a competition weight. If I was going to be a cycling competition person, yes, if I were to be the cycling competition person, I know I'd probably need to lose another 6 kilos from 77 down to 72, or even go to that point where you know that you actually can be on the verge of getting sick.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, very
but,
much
but
so.
But how do we keep ourselves healthy, fit, and achieving our goals?
And what we do the wrong with our food.
Okay.
Apart from Nutella, do not touch Nutella.
Yeah, anymore. It's a great question. There's a lot of layers to it, but in simple terms, yeah, it's extreme. What we do for bodybuilding to get down to 4% body fat is extreme, and it's not healthy. I think everybody's slightly different as far as where, you know, what's a comfortable level of body fat for them to carry. Athletes are obviously lower than the average person. Yeah. However, when it comes to really obesity and weight loss for obesity, very different to talking about competitive athletes and certainly bodybuilders. But as bodybuilders, we know how to build muscle and lose fat. We know how to recompose the body through manipulating diet and training, which is what it takes ultimately. Most importantly, probably diet. And I think, Mario, to answer your question simply, the biggest problem with the Western diet that causes weight gain or obesity is sugar. If I'm going to say one thing, it is sugar. And sugar comes in many forms. The obvious one is sucralose, straight sugar. The not so obvious one is, I mean, the other obvious ones are lollies, you know, soda drinks that are full of sugar, just straight sugar.
Oh, I agree too, yes. Yeah.
You know, it's sugar. But the one that's not as obvious that a lot of people get caught out on and eat excessive amounts of is processed food. So the starch in white flour has a similar effect on the body to sugar. And let me clear this up for anybody that's listening. Extremely important if you want to lose body fat is to eliminate sugar from your diet. And the next step, process carbohydrates. Eliminate sugar. Reason why I'll give it to you really short and simple is when we consume sugar, our blood sugar level rises very, very quickly. Now, our pancreas produces a hormone called insulin. Diabetics can't produce it, so when they consume sugar, they need to inject their insulin, basically. Yeah. So insulin's role is to bring blood sugar down and stabilize blood sugar so you don't go hyperglycemic. So when insulin's present in the bloodstream, when you produce insulin from eating sugar, when insulin is present in the bloodstream, it is impossible to burn body fat for fuel. I'm going to say that again. You consume sugar, your pancreas produces insulin from the sugar. When insulin is present in the bloodstream, it's impossible to burn fat as fuel. Impossible. Starch has a very, very similar response on the body and insulin production as sugar. Very, very similar. Starch is like sugar. So these highly processed carbohydrates, white flour products, they're like poison as much as sugar is. So that's step one, is to eliminate those.
Darren, you I can see that. No, seriously, now you listen very carefully. I learned at late stage now, last couple of weeks, elimination of the sugar from my daily intake of the food. And let me tell you, it's a painful. It's a freaking painful. Even my Coke Zero, which I minimized it, you know what I mean, to the two cans, the smallest can possible, 200 ml, I have a cravings at night. And I told Nick, I'll wake up during the night and I'll have that desire for all these years, just need to have that sweets. And I even had no diabetes, you know what I mean? So I went to the doctor. He says,
Not yet.
Well, that's the...
Not yet.
That's what it is.
Let's be brutally honest, not yet, Mario.
Well, you know, unfortunately, that is very true, because you know, as I age, you know, I mean, the gravity does the things, and you know, like today I can say I'm healthy, but you know, tomorrow I can wake up and say, Dan, listen, I can't make it on Friday because, you know, I mean, I need to see the specialist, whatever, endocrinologist, you know, I mean, for my diabetes. You're right there. So why we don't kick off the sugar?
There is a hack.
And I mean, and I admire Darren because, like, you know, he wants to lose 7 kilos and he's really good looking man. I mean, he's skinny, you know what I mean? But I want to be like a Nick Jones. So
is that a compliment, Darren?
I believe it is.
Because I don't believe you want to lose 7 kilos. What do you mean you lose 7 kilos?
If he's going to compete.
Well, let's see how.
It's powder weight, right?
Exactly. So if I was going to compete in, say, the Masters in cycling, I can't do it at this weight.
It's powder weight, Mario.
Yeah, that's right. So if I lose 7 kilos, that's 10% off my weight. So my powder weight ratio, if I don't increase power, goes up straight away. So I have a competitive advantage. So I could spend...
Especially for hill climbing.
Exactly. So I could spend thousands on a bike to reduce 500 grams off the chain set or whatever.
Yes.
Or 500 grams off me is much cheaper.
Easy. You do that in a week. You do that in a week. Easy.
Okay. So why we don't give up on the sugar, Nick? We want to look like you.
Because people crave it. You get used to it. So when you're consuming a lot of sugar on a regular basis, you get insulin resistance. Your cells become resistant to the insulin.
Okay,
so
give me more of it. So you
need to produce more and more of the insulin to do its role of bringing blood sugar down. You get insulin resistance, and this is what causes adult onset diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, etc. It's the insulin resistance from having too much sugar. So when we cut the sugar, it's easy. I can say it to you, cut the sugar, but you start to crave it.
I crave it like crazy. I say from my experience, I like it. You know, I'm seeing the pictures like yourself. You know, I come in the gym, and you know, I mean, okay, I'm doing totally different exercises lately, but you know, I love when I come in the gym and everyone's done it. It's like nobody talks to nobody, chicks still looking, everything else. I'm like, God, like, you know, like I wish I can do this, you know. And then I knew I was doing something wrong.
It's a sweet. Yeah, yeah. It takes time and discipline. You know, the knowledge, of course.
Yeah.
But there's a hack to stop you craving the sugar. There is a hack. There's a mineral, chromium picolinate. Chromium picolinate is a trace element or mineral that improves insulin sensitivity. Chromium, it's quite cheap. It has to be the picolinate form, though. Chromium picolinate, 500 micrograms a day or so, and that will improve insulin sensitivity and reduce your sugar cravings. We have it in a few of our products. The AminoLean and the ThermoFuel has the chromium in there. So between meals is often when you'll crave sugar, because you've got to start eating clean. You start eating this unprocessed brown rice and broccoli and chicken and fish and lean steaks and so forth. So you're eating bodybuilding type of food in those meals that we talked about.
Yeah.
But between those meals or after that meal, you'll feel like some dessert. You want some sugar.
So tell me something.
You want sugar.
I'm asking for the friend. His name is Darren Cabs Davis. Okay. So...
No.
I mean, so why we as ordinary humans, we don't know about this chrome piccolo?
Why do we not know about it?
Yeah, why?
Well, you haven't read about Darren, nutrition. You know, you haven't read about this.
Darren, did you know this?
I didn't know about that, but...
Chromium pick, yeah.
Yeah, I well know about, ditching sugar.
See, I never heard such a thing. Like when you go in a health store, what do you want? I want to lose the weight. Here we go, Hydroxycut, or here we go.
It's probably in a lot of those products.
Yeah,
there might be some in those products. Like I said, it's in a couple of mine. Yeah. I don't do a single chromium picolinate, but someone who has a lot of sugar and starts dieting dieting is, so many people look at it as a filthy word. It's not. As soon as you start to change your eating habits, and you eliminate the sugar from your diet, that's when you need chromium picolinate on its own. We've got some in our ThermoFuel. We've got some like 50 micrograms in you have a couple of serves of my products a day. You're getting 100 micrograms. You probably need to start on 500 for the first month.
Oh, you're talking to me? Look at Darren, you know, like he was lost 7 kilos. I need to lose 20 kilos. Before we go now on a break, just a food for the thought.
Sure.
COVID-19.
Yes.
What did you saw changes on the people health-wise?
Health-wise?
Let's not talk psychological or mental or something.
Yeah, there was a very clear and big divide.
Did you notice, Darren, a lot of Uber driving, Uber Eats things delivering during the COVID?
Yeah, indeed.
I saw like a cars in my street.
Well, why can't people cook?
Bicycle sales. Yes. How were bicycle sales during COVID? They went through the roof.
Who can find a bike?
But there was no bicycles. But there was no bicycles anymore.
It was like that with home gym equipment was the same. Exactly. This stuff's like gold.
Yeah. Especially when the gyms closed down.
When the gyms closed.
When people couldn't go to the gyms, they still wanted to do their exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're on the bikes. Again, you're looking just walking as well.
Yeah. 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 It's great for that.
But there was not any more bicycles. I think the end of the May was not even bicycles anymore to be bought. Because everybody bought a bicycle.
Yeah, I think it was worse than the toilet paper run.
Yeah, in the same category for sure.
But you as a professional, in nutrition and in the lifestyle and the fitness industry,
yes.
Did you see the changes on the people, eating more during the COVID?
Yes, like I started to say, there was a very, very clear divide. Those that kept training and kept exercising found a way. And they are the people that are passionate and know how important it is for them, for their lifestyle, for their positive mental attitude. And I'm talking about myself here. I need to train.
Yeah.
And because I was at home with the kids, I can't train when they're there. It's dangerous and they want dad around. So I was getting up at 5 a.m. to train. I never get up at 5 a.m. Well, not a little bit later, but I was up at 5 to train and do some filming on Gentech Facebook so I could help to inspire and stay in touch with a lot of our consumers and keep them training. So it was a divide. There was either those that found a way, and those that didn't find a way, they went the other way.
You think that those who didn't find a way, they're going to pay the hefty price now?
Yeah, they will. They will. But the industry will probably flourish for it because people will invest in themselves.
I know that. I saw your videos on Gentech Facebook, and I saw that Darren drove the bicycle. And I mean, I've done my best, even my boxing. And I mean, it was not supposed to be human touch, I saw the surge in Uber driving, Eats, bicycles, drivers. Hey, you're listening online, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. We'll come back after the short break with our guest, Nick Jones from Gentech.
Alive 90.5.
Last one die. Now I'm looking to the sky.
is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Royal Shores, developed by Pace, is a new waterfront community in Parramatta. Set right on the waterfront at the gateway to Sydney Harbour, Royal Shores is one of Pace's most unique urban developments to date. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21 Winston Hills Mall and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
It's 21 minutes to 12. You're on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario. Take it away.
Well, you know, thank you, Darren. On our break, we spoke with Nick, you know, about some little hacks, and he explained to us why it's important to remove the sugars, why it's important to eat healthy and clean. Of course, we all want to live a healthy life, you know, but, you know, do we really, you know, prepare to sacrifice ourselves as a Nick? But we should not sacrifice that much, because even Nick says there's a difference between bodybuilding and having the healthy lifestyle and you know, being healthy, being strong and so on. But Nick, when somebody comes to you, even including me, who ask you for help, what do you see, what you're gonna say to somebody who is determined to change your lifestyle? What do you give your tip, you know, I mean, or your insight or your advice to somebody? Okay, you want to change your life. You see so many people coming to you and say, I want to change, I want to be like you, but you're down track, you know, it's like it's going to waste money, time, and you do nothing. Mm. What do you say to somebody, or what would you do, share somebody? Is a fear, look, you're going to die from the heart attack, or you're going to say, man, what do you want?
See, that's a good point. That's a good point. The first thing I would do is ask them why. What's the driving force? Yeah. Are they really looking down the barrel?
I want to look hot at the beach. Yeah. For the girls.
Yes.
Do some curls for the girls. Really, it comes down to what's the driving force? How motivated are they really? You know, what are the consequences? Like Darren talked about with what you associate, you know, with your training. How are you going to feel? What, you know, is the price worth it? Because like you said, you have to sacrifice. You have to make some sacrifices. To make a change, you have to make some sacrifices and let things go. No matter what we're talking about, whether it's weight loss or anything else, to make a positive change and to make a difference, you need to let some things go. So really, what's the motivating factor for them? Once I know they're motivated, as you said when you came to me, and again, I don't consult. I'm not a nutrition consultant. I don't have time for it. Running the company I run, I don't have time for it. I'm not a trainer in the gym. I don't have time for it. I'm qualified to be. I'm a body recomposition specialist. I'm qualified with nutrition and with strength training to recompose the body. I'm qualified for that and insured to do it, but I just don't, because I don't have the time. But I have the information. I can give you the information. Now, the information's worthless unless you have that drive, unless it's so important to you to lose the 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 kilograms and make that change. You know, do you want to be around for your kids, for your grandkids? How important is that to you? So when I spoke to you and you told me a little bit about your son, I thought, okay, Mario's ready. He can do it. Here's the information, Mario. And again, the information for me, it's simple. Because it's always simple. The basics, but the biggest thing is, you know, we talked about motivation earlier. Motivation is one of those things that comes and it goes. I reckon motivation lasts for a few days. When you get inspired to do a race, when you get inspired for a fight, when someone gets inspired to do a photo shoot and look great for that, whatever it might be, the motivation, the excitement maybe lasts for a few days, but then it goes. The biggest thing is the discipline to eat that food, to eat those four small meals a day and have those couple of shakes.
Three, you give me three.
Was it three? Yeah, so three and two shakes, I think.
Two shakes,
so that plan I gave you is really achievable. By a general person. It's really achievable. It's not that far different to eating three meals a day like most people will. You add a couple of shakes in, but then you don't snack between the meals. And the meals are important. It's unprocessed carbohydrates, unprocessed proteins, small amount of essential fatty acids. We talk about increasing water intake.
Yeah.
You know, an athlete needs 42 mils of water per kilo of body weight per day. 42 mils of water.
What does that make me, Darren? 140 kilos.
Never good at mass.
Right. That, yeah, makes probably 5 litres a day, around about. Yeah, yeah. Right? To be fully hydrated as an athlete. You're training like an athlete.
So may I ask you, it's totally different now. Maybe Darren can answer to me as well. 2 years ago, I went first time in the ring, and I was like far too overweight, you know what I mean? And then I wear the uniform, like, which was medium size. Can you imagine how I look like? It's on YouTube one time, my fight, you know what I mean? I feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed so much, you know, I was disgusted on myself in the mirror. Honestly, like, I felt, like, so miserable, you know what I mean? So, like, the last thing I didn't achieve, you know what I mean, in all my life, you know, how to say, my part in life, it's a body weight. And I know how I come in. I mean, I know how I come. I told you, like, 2 years I was shoving up in my face, you know what I mean, just Nutella, Coke, and really enjoyed, and smoking, and coffee, all these things, you know what I mean, and again, the weight. But you know where the comfort I found? Big John's, you know, Big Johnny Clothing Company? You don't know because it's...
Oh, clean. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everything starts with 5XL, right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus, you know what I mean? I can't wear my suits from last year. So eventually, I mean, come to that stage when I say, like, I need to now going that masters on a fight, but I can't get, you know what I mean, as I was going before. I really want to show myself I looking good. So I turned to Nick. But Nick, you know, you said motivation last couple of days. So how do people keep motivation?
Yeah, good question. Again,
how do you make them to keep motivation? How would you tell them, as I said, Darren now, don't look at me only, look at Darren now. It's like, how he's going to keep motivation?
I can't sell you discipline in a bottle. I can't sell you that. But that this is something that... It comes to you and you get this fork in the road many, many times throughout the day. When it comes to eating the food, you get a fork there. You can make a choice. You've got these choices. Now, again, I think it's your association to pleasure and pain. How painful was it? How painful is it to know how out of shape you were? How painful is that? Is that more painful, you know, than eating grilled fish, brown rice, and fresh salad? You know, to get the result that you need to get. What's more painful? And it's a very, there's a very short-term gauge for this. I know that if you blow off that fish and brown rice and fresh salad and you go have a big lasagna, half a loaf of bread and an ice cream to take away from the cafe, I know how you're going to feel. I know...
Good.
Right.
But I know
the difference, the true difference in how you feel deep down inside, how it really affects your self-confidence, your self-esteem, not just because of the result in the mirror, but because of the result, you've exercised that discipline. You've exercised that. You've taken the hard road. You've done what it takes. I know that that's where true self-esteem is built, through self-discipline. True self-worth, true self-confidence is built through the discipline, not through looking at you. I don't look at myself in the mirror and I'm not narcissistic. People think bodybuilders are not narcissistic. The results are great, but it's the lifestyle. It's the work. It's getting up at 5 a.m. I don't feel like getting up at 5 a.m. It's freezing. I don't feel like, but I know how I'm going to feel at 6:30 a.m. if I stay in bed, as opposed to getting up and doing the work.
What pushed you to do through COVID? Because you exercise through COVID. Darren is crazy enough like you to drive the bicycle, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I prefer to stay at home and read
Yeah, but something that's powerful is being accountable. So you've got a trainer now. Is something that's very, very powerful is being accountable. For me, I've got a following on our company's Facebook.
Yeah.
So I would film my workouts on Facebook in the mornings. So I was accountable to the people that are following the Facebook page. I was accountable to them. So they were so grateful to me for getting up and sharing my workouts and giving them some tips and touching base and giving them a bit of mindset stuff and a bit of motivation. They were grateful for that. I was just as grateful for them because they were keeping me accountable. At 5 a.m., I was getting up because I was accountable to them.
And so, Nick, going back to taking a big lasagna and those sorts of things. or getting pleasure from eating.
Yeah.
Would you also say that it doesn't set you up for then planning for the next day. So you might take the lasagna, you put on the Netflix, and you think, oh, you're a bit sleepy and off to bed. The alarm goes at 5, you think, I'm not ready.
Yep.
Snooze, and off you go. Whereas if you actually take the discipline to say, yeah, I'm not going to have that lasagna, I'm going to cook some nice fish, yeah, I'm going to season it well, salt and pepper and good flavours, a bit of umami and dashi and all that type of stuff.
Make it taste good.
But then you're in the mindset to plan, okay, I need to get my clothes out tomorrow, I need to make up my drink for the ride, I need to do this, and this is what I experience. And when I do that, I go for the ride. When I do the other, I just don't.
Yes.
And so do you think that's similar to what you're trying to say to us, to think about, well, plan. Think about how you need to do the day, how you need to get ready. And everyone's got their different preferences. Some people will want to go, okay, I'm happy to get up at 4:45 and chuck everything together and still get out there. Mm. For me, it's kind of like, now I'll get my shoes ready, my shorts ready and make sure the bike's good. And then I know I'll be able to get up and get out on the road quite quickly because, as you say, the feeling is normally when you're on the road.
Yes.
Or exactly. When you're in the gym.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, you've got to plan. It's crucial to plan. But I think it's that mindset that multiplies from the discipline. That multiplies and that breeds. And it breeds. And I believe it's cumulative. I think the more you hang in there and you practice this self-discipline on a daily basis, the stronger and stronger it gets. The harder it becomes to blow off training. The harder it becomes because you feel so bad. And not the guilt, but it's, you know, that you sort of go one step down in that self-belief and that self-confidence and that self-esteem. So I truly believe the discipline, it breeds and it multiplies and it's cumulative. The more you practice it, the stronger it gets. So for me, training these days, it's a way of life. It's not a lot of discipline to say I'm going to the gym. I love going to the gym and training. I love to train. And for no other reason than I love the feeling. I love the feeling of the cold steel. It allows me to get present and stop thinking about business and future and my children and my wife and what I need to take home and what I need to do at the house. And it gets me present. It gets me present. And that's what that cold steel, the feeling of the cold steel, being present in the moment, that's the juice of life. That's it.
And for me, it's going hard up a hill. Heart rate probably at 192. I'm a very high heart rate, low resting heart rate. So maybe I do have the makings of Tour de France. I don't know. I should look into that.
Yes.
But you do that, and you just think, I've conquered it, and I know I've done well.
That's right.
And actually, the wind's at my back today as well. That's a bonus. But you do those sorts of things, and you just revel in that feeling.
Exactly.
You know what that feeling is, and if someone doesn't, I don't know. How do you tell them?
You can't.
How does Mario get that feeling?
Yeah.
Does he have the feeling? Is it for him until he gets in the boxing ring? Is that when the feeling comes? Mario, you might be able to answer to us.
Yeah, when you're hitting those pads and you feel like you can't hit them anymore and your trainer is drilling you and drilling you.
He does.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Because he believes in me. But he told me, simple thing is like, I'm not here to you losing the weight. You want to be in the Masters. You want to make the statement. So either you do or die, you know what I mean? And he told me, basically, my dad, he told me, when you walk in that ring, you bring my name with me, with you inside. And I can't help you there. So if you want to be, destroyed, you're going to be destroyed. Otherwise, you're going to win. Maybe it's too late in my life career. But it's the difference between you and I. Your father of three kids.
Yes.
So how do your kids sees you when you say, daddy, it's a he-man? Or is like a daddy? And there's my daddy, look at how strong it is. Or how they feel like,
It's funny, isn't it? It's normal. It's normal for them. It's normal. It's just normal. It's funny. Last year I made a comeback. I had 10 years off of the stage. I had 10 years away from the competition. And I decided to make a comeback last year, March of last year. And the major driving factor for me, it was a personal challenge. At 47 years of age, could I come back? Could I win the title I'd won 10 years earlier in the open division at 47 years of age? That was last March. But the biggest driving factor was my children. I wanted them to see their dad on stage. But even prior to that, I wanted my kids to see the discipline and work that it takes when you set a goal and you have a plan and you stick to that plan no matter what, day in, day out. I wanted them to see a bit of that. And then, I don't know, you want your kids to be proud of you as well. We grow up wanting our parents to be proud of us.
Yeah.
But as things change and as you when you become a parent, you want your children to be proud of you. I certainly do. And that was one of my driving forces, probably like yours to a certain degree with your son, is I wanted my children to be proud of their dad and see the work. And I hope it's something that they always remember.
So you're creating a legacy, which is good, not just for your kids, but for the many other people around you. And I mean, to your company, to your persistence, dedication. Look at Darren as well. And I mean, like it's not easy. And I mean, like we are not spring flowers. Mm. But the difference, what I realize, which makes it is, I don't go out. You know, I don't drink alcohol. You know, I mean, I give up now for many, many, many things. And that, you know, I don't like to be bothered. You know, you're missing from the life because I don't drink, I don't go out, this and that. I don't care what other people do. I need to achieve my goals. Mm-hmm. Only way to achieve these goals, it's, you know, it's a sacrifice, dedication. But Darren, you want to close this show with our friend Nick before he's, because to all our listeners, Darren Capes Davis, he's going to drive the, you know, Masters Cycling, and I'm going to push him. Yes, you will.
Wow.
This is now.
Challenge is on.
And yeah, it is. And we have a few challenges, Darren and I, to announce a little bit later, you know, in the next couple of weeks, months. But I truly believe that Nick Jones can give it some energy through his products. Nick.
The drive.
Thank you for being our guest. Darren, you close the show today.
Well, Nick Jones, thank you for being our guest today. And when can our listeners find out more about Nick Jones and what you may have to offer for them to give them their drive and their passion to achieve their goals?
Thank you, Nick, for your answer.
No! Where's the no?
You can find me at my Instagram page, Nick Jones World Champion.
Wonderful.
Probably and there was a company called?
Gentech Nutrition.
Do you have the website?
Yes, yeah, gen-tech.com.au, gen-tech.com.au.
Jesus, he said this very well in English here. Thank you, Darren. Close it.
Thank you, Nick. You've been listening to Business Insights. Join us on Friday at midday.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.
When you say that you just can't hang on, when you're letting go and want to run, don't back up.
You feel less. You feel less.
is Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a steak and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces, and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melroseparkcom.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
Alive 90.5.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. Australia has